You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Be a docuseries on Notre Dame in their 1 year in a conference. I mean, really?
I mean, why not?
You can't be serious. This is going to be good.
I'm going to watch it. I'm going to watch every episode.
But who cares? What's the difference? They just played in a conference.
I care. It was the pandemic season. I mean, that's a question for the producers of the series, Billy. I couldn't tell you what storylines they will follow, but I will definitely be tuning in to see the behind the scenes.
But it's just because it's your school, right?
Well, yeah, but I mean, that's who it's for, right? There's a lot of Notre Dame fans, so they'll all tune in and watch it on the ACC network.
Didn't they have something already like this before, like their own Hard Knocks?
Yes. So when I was actually a senior at Notre Dame, I was a PA on the Showtime series, A Season with Notre Dame Football. It was very, it was an emotional series. You know, I cried at the end of it. It was a good season. 2015.
You cried. Notre Dame football season. You cried Notre Dame. Oh my God. What's this going to be like around here, Mike, when it's University of Miami time? Jessica's too young to even remember when the University of Miami and Notre Dame were actually teams that mattered as opposed to what they are now, which is just teams with a big history.
Yeah. How old was she in 2017 when we won 41-8 and became the top team in the country? I wish it actually happened more often.
Second top team.
I wish it happened more often, that dynamic between Jessica and I. Unfortunately, Notre Dame doesn't want to play Miami.
Yeah, unfortunately, Miami's irrelevant, and they have sucked ever since that game.
Yeah, that's what
have they done? Notre Dame has made the playoffs twice since that season.
Unfortunately, the ACC didn't game the system for Miami to appear in the ACC championship game the way they did with Notre Dame, ensuring that they would have the easiest possible path.
Notre Dame is not in the ACC for a reason, and that's because the ACC is so easy, and Miami still can't win in the ACC and make it to the ACC championship game every season. And Notre Dame did it in one season. They knocked off number one Clemson on November 7th, 2020.
Oof. Oh, yes. Yeah. Did they? Who was their quarterback at the time? I'm sorry, I don't really recall who was playing, because I feel like there were mitigating circumstances amid a pandemic that led to
Uyunglele
this bullshit playoff
stud,
appearance
Mike.
That they have trademarked right now. You rode that ACC grift all the way to the playoff, and you know it.
What's your excuse then? Why hasn't Miami made the playoff? They've been in the ACC this whole time. Give me an excuse then.
Well, no, we haven't been as good as Notre Dame, except for
one
beautiful night, April 18th. 2017, where Braxton Berrios dragged your asses all over Hard Rock Stadium to the tune of 41-8. Goodbye.
And now he's the
Jets'
best wide receiver.
You said April 18th, Mike.
Yeah, was it not? Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. Oh. It wasn't. I got confused because the digits in 41-8 make up April 18th. You can understand how I got confused.
Jessica can't win. I mean, no one can win against Mike.
She can win if she play me.
Her team has been better the last few years, though. That's not up for dispute here, but Notre Dame is perpetually getting dragged.
Yeah, the last time they beat us, DeShone Kizer was their quarterback, and that was a great win at Notre Dame. Notre Dame's the only team in the world where to play them, you need to sign up for two away games in order for you to get a home. Look what happened when we played at home. I would love to play Notre Dame every year. I hate Notre Dame. But they're not up for the fight.
Notre Dame's annoying, Dan. They get to the Final Four because
Notre Dame's a piece of shit. Just say it, everybody, because this new person's here, so we have to be nice all of a sudden, and we have to play nice and pretend that Notre Dame isn't trash, that's afraid of playing the U, and all of a sudden, Merriam-Webster comes out with her calendar and starts saying games aren't in April, they're in September. Who cares? Your team is trash. They haven't been good forever.
I cannot wait to be in Miami next week and just absolutely
lay hands
on people.
Because then people are going to stop being so nice to you, and you're going to get it when you walk around the street, and you're going to hear how whack your team is every place you go.
Well said.
Thank you, and welcome, Jessica.
Welcome to hell!
Welcome back, people. It's good to see you. Good to see that the Homeowners Association isn't mad anymore about you making a lot of noise.
Oh, I'm going to get a letter after this, but I couldn't hear it any longer, Dan Levitard. And by the way, congratulations on this deal. How much am I getting out of that? I've been carrying around for years now.
Thank you, people, for all your hard work. We will get to that deal in a second. We will get to Greg Cody of the Miami Herald in a second. He's got a mock draft. I want to know all about his exactos.
Oh, yes.
Are you ready?
Only time will tell on the exactos, Dano.
Yeah.
The last few years, Greg, last year, did you get more exactos than Kuiper and McShay, or were you even?
I did. It's quantifiable. I got 7 exactos last year, and Kuiper Jr. Got 6. So how about that? By the way, can I just say I absolutely love listening to a Hurricanes fan and a Fighting Irish fan.
Thank you, Greg Cody. Finally, someone listen, appreciates it.
Okay, I want somebody to get a calculator and figure out the combined number of years that those two once relevant franchises have gone since winning their last national championship. What would that be? It would be in the 50s or 60s, wouldn't it?
Notre Dame won in 1988, Greg. Greg, we're already off on a bad foot. I wouldn't keep going.
Well, let's talk about this for a second. Okay, explain this, because we'll get to the stuff that you guys want to hear about our new deal that we're very excited about. But at the end of Tuesday, we were so exhausted that instead of celebrating a historic partnership that is groundbreaking for us and the industry, we just collapsed and Stugat smelled like champagne and left here with champagne stinging in his eye, but no enthusiasm.
Sprinted home to interview Ross Tucker.
This is a direct quote. I want to recreate Dan's enthusiasm here. Direct quote from Dan Levitard. You couldn't be more excited.
That is the energy that I brought to the post-game show. You have to understand something about what the last 4 months have been, because we're going to talk about this honestly in a second, but they've been exhausting and scary and exhilarating, and we've marveled that the sports media sort of didn't really... Everybody was sleeping. And what got your attention the other day was the number. The number got your attention that was reported. And I thought that nobody was still going to understand what we were doing after the announcement, because I didn't think there was going to be a number. I don't know why or how a number got reported attached to us, but it was a big enough number to get everyone's attention. But imagine, Stugatz, if we'd made that announcement with DraftKings and there was no reported number anywhere, I think people today would still be like, well, what's the partnership? What does it mean? But because Greg Cody had that article in the Wall Street Journal, have numbers that people like, next thing you know, everybody's interested in this story. And then people after the fact start figuring out, oh, wait a minute, this is futuristic. This is Florida opening for gambling. This is sports in America welcoming the gambling money. This is a groundbreaking deal that is the deal to be made 10 years from now. And wait a minute, they got what for renting themselves? I want to talk about that. But first and foremost, I want to get to the beef that Jessica and Cody have, because Cody had the most comprehensive article on this.
I thought Cody did a really good job for people who don't understand what this means, the partnership that we have with DraftKings. Greg did a very nice job. In fact, my wife went to Greg's column because she understood that one the most. He did a very nice job of laying out what else could happen to this radio.
Well, so explain this, because this is a move that we're really proud of, even though I didn't show you the enthusiasm for it properly on Tuesday. I was also worried about my dad. He was wearing a giant coat. It was heavy. The crown on his head was heavy. And, he, you know, I haven't seen him very much during the pandemic. I've missed him, and he's aged in a way that's frightened me, because the pandemic has, you know, been a lot of old people living scared for 18 months at a frail age, like for the number of things that have been going on in my life lately, chief among them at the highest points on my list is making sure my parents are okay, because this has been terrifying for 18 months.
Yep. Poppy held up just fine, though. He did a great job.
He was being jostled in the video in a way that you can see. It doesn't seem like he's very enthusiastic about anything.
Well, you don't really seem like you're that worried about his physical state, considering how you were jostling your dad around to cover up for your own insecurities. It was very weird.
Mike, I will say this. Now, listen, I did this to myself, but you did me dirty on the stomach, my man.
Always producing.
All right, hold on. Before we get to that, and before we get to the feud between Greg Cody and Jessica, Chris, I thought you saved that video because despite the gut and the crown he was wearing, Stugatz kind of, you know, dribbled out on the champagne. I thought that you came in and saved everything by being a very vigorous champagne shaker in front of Mike's astute and aforementioned insecurity of mine and the general jostling of my father, who's in a frail state.
It's what I bring, Dan. I'm the energy guy. If you really watch that video back, though, it's clear Chris Whittingham has never opened a champagne
bottle. Well, he said
before.
Right before we started, the ever-helpful Whittingham just offered to me, yes, I don't know how to open a champagne bottle, but while it was open, Stugatz didn't seem to know how to spray and shake up a champagne bottle. Again, I'm in no position to say anything. I was hiding behind the...
I've never won a championship.
I was hiding all my frailties behind my father while wearing a pirate's hat that was too tight.
I actually thought I opened the champagne bottle fairly well, considering that was my first experience with it.
Oh, right in my eye.
It's the most hypnotic part of the video is how awkward Chris Whittingham is at opening and how careful. I was mortified watching it. I'm like, we've signed this kid up for this. And that video's forever.
There were so many warnings beforehand. Don't pop the champagne cork in my eye. So I was like, I was more concerned about where the aim was. I don't know how much
force. We're on the roof. You literally have everywhere but someone's eye. You don't have to be that careful.
Right after we were done, he said, who's going to clean this all up?
I was worried about that. Dan was very much landlord Dan there. There was a door that we were all afraid of opening because it said, if you open this door, alarm will sound. And Dan's just like, kicks it down. Arnold Schwarzenegger style.
We were very cavalier on the roof with the champagne.
Dan was dressed like an actual cavalier.
So Chris said, while we were up there, guys, we are making a mess. He did say, as well, as I said.
Witty was like, wow, should we lay some tarp down? This seems, let me cover up the sharp edges. It's not baby proof.
And he offered with a good deal of insecurity. He offered, you know, just a sort of sad, I don't know how to open a champagne bottle. And you can...
That was just before then, though, Dan. He's like, Mike, you sure you don't want to be in this video? I'm like, nah, I'm good. I'll be in that videographer because I wasn't going to get wet.
Yeah, Mike sat it out, didn't buy in at all, but is there for the mockery. And again, this I recognize it because I was hiding behind my dad doing the same thing. And Chris Cody, glue guy, comes in and saves the ridiculous video of insecurity. But I just want everyone to understand that Chris Whittingham is very good, I would say, at basically being helpful in every single circumstance. You can ask him for anything and it will be produced except joy. You got to be careful before
unbridled authentic joy.
You have to be worried about the cleanup, and if you're worried about the cleanup, you never get to the joy, and then we can just get to cleaning up.
Mm-hmm. That's why the champagne celebrations in the locker rooms are so fun, because they don't have to give a shit about who's cleaning it up.
It's also why they wear goggles. I mean,
yeah, you've been harboring that resentment for some time.
And yet, I operated with the least caution, because I'm pouring champagne down Stugatz's head, because I was going for the visual there, and I ended up causing the worst injury of the whole thing, and I feel terrible about it.
Yes, this is how it goes sometimes when you are joyless, Whittingham, and always organized, but we will corrupt you over time. Jessica, though, I need to understand the nature of your beef with Greg Cody, because as I said, Cody, how did this article do? Did you get a lot of your beloved clicks? Were you slathering your nipples in clicks?
Well, you're muted, Greg. You're still muted, Greg.
Greg,
doing anything when my dad would be mortified.
Why did you mute it, Greg? What happened?
It was muted because I didn't want to cough or anything into a live mic, and I was momentarily late in unmuting myself. But I wanted to say that the clicks have been very good for that story. They've gotten as many clicks as Meadowlark has dollars from the DraftKings deal, so we're good.
And you're feeling good about yourself. Your scoops, Cody, again. Because nothing matters to you more than clicks. You did good traffic. Where Stugatz is giving you a journalistic compliment by saying you read the best. You wrote the best story. Look at you. You look radiant today. You look like ego medicine has healed your coughing soul.
While still being Max Mom.
It's gonna been a good couple of days. Yeah, and you know, the Wall Street Journal beat me on the story by about 5 minutes, but we had the better story with. Sterling quotes from Dan Le Batard, so we're real happy about it. Yeah. Right. And as for that beef with Jessica, by the way, I met her on Zoom yesterday. I apologized. It was not quite an oversight. It was not unintentional, but it was also meant not as a slight.
So you wrote in the story, I feel like people should just know what the quote was. He wrote in the Miami Herald story.
Jessica, wait a minute. Thank you for being a professional about this, because this was perfect.
He just left us hanging.
Greg,
with nothing,
Greg, just right?
No
a narcissist. Details, just everyone knows my story, right? Because I only care about myself. Thank you for being the radio professional that he isn't and will never be. Thank you for coming in here and for the audience explaining the joke, because look at him. He's radiant and red. Yes, yes, clicks, more clicks. Yes, I'm terrible at my job. Clicks, more clicks. Please explain to the audience and everyone what the nature of the beef is, which is the question I asked him.
Yes, the nature of the beef is that in this article, Greg Cody wrote, and I quote, "In addition to Azaria, Meadowlark and Le Batard have brought aboard former ESPN personalities Jemele Hill, Adnan Virk, and Amin Alhassan, as well as producer Michael Schur, The Office, Parks and Recreation, director Adam McKay, Anchorman, The Big Short, and others." And Dan, you can correct me if I'm wrong. I think of those names, there might only be one other person that he could be referring to. So I think I'm the "and others." I couldn't even get, you know, a shout out, Jessica Smetana, Sports Illustrated, joining the shipping container. Like, didn't get anything there. Just got a "and others."
Ayo.
Yeah. This is so bad, Cody. So bad.
Well, listen, it was a chronological list. I have a finite amount of space. And, you know, Jessica has come on board the pirate ship fairly late in the game compared to the others I mentioned. I think no one would argue that. And, you know, the next time I reference the show, we'll have a headline with Jessica's name in it.
I didn't know that the Miami Herald had a character limit, so that's unfortunate. Also, Jessica, you can't be the person that corrects people on how to pronounce your last name and botch Hank Azaria's.
I thought I said it right. Did I say Azaria? Oh, okay. Well, I know how to say his name. I just said it wrong.
You are
a little bit
nuts.
Of nerves.
Yes.
But, you know, like, I understand, Greg, that all of these people are much more famous and successful than me. But I thought, like, since there only was one other, like, maybe I'd just get my name slipped in there a little bit. Like, maybe you could kind of, like, gas me up a little bit, like, boost my confidence a little in my first week, make me feel good about myself. But instead, I just got to "and others."
Well, who is the other? The other other?
There are no other others, is what she's saying. There is.
She's the only one.
She's telling you there right. are no other others. She's the only other. She's
no,
not and
that can't
others.
Be true.
Can't be true.
That can't be true.
The of.
It's a big roster that Meadowlark is assembling. Mm-hmm. And we're thrilled that Jessica's in that parade of talent.
He's red.
Fantastic.
Greg Cody has turned red. Are you ashamed of yourself? What is happening here? You never feel shame. Usually you're only this red when you're laughing and then coughing.
2 weeks in the Keys, Dan. I mean,
well, look, that'll do it. That'll do it. It wasn't quite 2 weeks, but that was a hard run. No, I'm regretful. You know, if in the clarity of hindsight, if I had to do it all over again, I certainly would have included Jessica's name and looked up who that other was, which I still don't know. It's a mystery person. Jessica Greg. Named the other without naming him or her, and now nobody can produce that name.
Greg, what? Jessica, is he not listening to anything I'm saying? Greg, there is no other.
He's such a narcissist.
There is no other.
I mean, in Greg's defense, the narcissist here, I mean, maybe the person saying write articles about me after 2 days.
Whether you hydrate to live or live to hydrate, Liquid IV quenches your thirst faster than water alone. With 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink plus 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness, all in a single sugar-free stick. Are you heading to the airport on a long flight? Or do you need something after your flag football game? Well, if I was you, I would definitely go with Liquid IV just for the electrolytes so you don't feel run down. And I know for me, Liquid IV helps me start my day in the morning, and it helps give me the energy to do stuff like cut my yard and wash my car and work out and just face the day. And you can get your energy back while drinking something that's delicious. And when I say delicious, you can pick from flavors like pear, white peach, green grape, lemon lime, and more. Liquid IV is non-GMO, free from gluten, dairy, and soy. However you hydrate, grab your Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco, or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use code DAN at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration using code DAN today at liquidiv.com.
I anticipated that. That's why I intentionally left her out of the story, knowing that this would ensue. So you're welcome, everybody.
Mm-hmm. Good job, Greg.
Greg, do you have a back in my day today? I haven't gotten some notes here on...
No, I mentioned in the notes that that's an exclusive Tuesday joint.
you were away in the Keys. I mean, by yourself on the beach, the mind's flowing. You couldn't put anything together?
Well, that's you. You answered it in that statement. I mean, I'm a week in the Keys. I come back. I have to dive into the mock draft. I mean, it's been a tough week and a half. It really has. Exhausting. Levitard talks about how he's been exhausted the past 4 months. How about my last 10 days?
Greg,
you know, I'm in the Keys drinking nonstop. I come back to a ton of work.
Greg, I got the photo from your wife of you walking down Duval Street with a beer in one hand and a rooster under your arm. What are you tired from?
It's true. That had to be a great photo. How come I've never seen that? Look, Key West is nonstop, and you know, I got a party bone in my body, and it's rough. And I come back wanting to rest because I'm so exhausted from having so much fun, right. And then I got to dive right into work.
You know the deal, Dan. Sometimes you need a vacation from a vacation. A vacation can be very, very exhausting. It can. And a vacation in the Keys is probably the most exhausting of the vacations.
A dangerous game. All right, put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Levitard Show. Let's see. Do sometimes you need a vacation from a vacation? Angel, get to work immediately. worldofsui.com on taking that shirt and putting it on a t-shirt and put on the t-shirt, I got a party bone in my body because I want to see. His wife sent me that t-shirt, I think, because she wants me to sell that. She sent me that photograph because you still haven't seen the photograph. I want to sell to our audience shirts of Greg Cody with a beer in one hand, a rooster under his arm. Because she said that you wanted to be seen on Duval Street with the rooster. That she said that you had bubble wrap and they offered for you not to have to walk out with it. But you're like, no, I've got a party bone in my body. Oh, he's muted.
You're muted again.
It's unbelievable.
Oh. What the hell?
No, it was the perfect tableau for Key West. Drinking and roosters. I mean, it's just about perfect.
It's hard to stand out. It's hard to stand out on Duval Street, Greg. And so in order to do so, you have to have something like a rooster under your arm. You're right. It's a good play by you.
Yeah, and even then you don't stand out.
Not to pile on Greg again, but I will say a couple weeks ago, my good buddy Mike Golick Jr. called me to offer me some words of wisdom about joining the show. And he said that no matter what I do my first week, I will not be as bad at Zoom as Greg Cody is, so not to worry about anything. And I think that's coming true, Greg.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And thank Golick Jr. as well.
It wasn't a compliment. Chris, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
He said thank you for just saying my name.
Yes, seriously. He hears his name. Yep, compliment, definitely.
All right, let's just mute him for a couple of minutes because I need the relief.
I would say let's get him on the phone, but I don't think our phones are working anymore.
He mutes himself.
Going to need about Greg, 400 of those 50 million.
So I have to do the show with him this way?
Well, he can call you on speakerphone, maybe.
He can call your personal cell phone. I have no phones.
Okay, right, he could do that. You want to call mine, Greg? Let's try that. Call my cell phone.
There has to be a better way to do this with Greg where he is deteriorating. He is getting worse.
Yeah, I thought he was supposed to come in studio. He's fully inoculated like the rest of us.
Greg, why are you not here today?
I didn't know I was supposed to be. I can come in next time, whenever I'm on the show next.
Tuesday.
I can do that.
He's sure. Not in next Tuesday. And for our audience, we're not delivering a show next Tuesday. Instead, we're going to be delivering a show on Wednesday. Should I bring this public? Greg's feelings are a little hurt, Dan, because obviously there's been a massive priority, and I can only imagine how awkward it must be for our favorite narcissist to write a story about a $50 million deal and realize a conversation about his future within that company hasn't even begun.
So who did he file this complaint with?
To me personally, and my heart kind of broke for him a little bit because he's been there poorly for us for an entire year, but he's been there.
Was he entrusting you with this information?
He's like, hey, I'd like to come in. I'm cool rescheduling. You know me, ultimate team player, always there for you. But to be honest, I've been doing this for free, and no one in Metalark's talked to me about Tuesdays or where I stand in these things. And you got a star player, and you've ignored him and disrespected him with contracts. Next thing you know, he's taking a minority stake in the Utah Jazz. That's how that happens, Dan.
Yeah. Mike, I appreciate you sharing that private text that I sent to you. That's very nice of you.
His feelings.
It's fine. I don't do it for the money.
I have been tending to Greg Cody's feelings as if he were an emotional infant for about 35 years. That's about right.
No, hey, you're best friends.
No one disagrees with this, correct? Chris, your father is an eternal shame. He's a blight on this show.
Wow.
That's strong language, right, Roy?
Yes, it is. You're lowballing him already.
Everybody be careful. Dan is presently tending to Greg's feelings by insulting him directly to his face.
Well, listen, if he were tending to my feelings, he'd answer my phone call when I invite him onto my next podcast, but he's ghosting me.
Well, that's
fine. He's bigfooting me. $50 million man. I'm going to start calling him Midas. But just because he doesn't want to come on my podcast, and I haven't overdone that, by the way. He's been on two of my 58 podcasts. It's not like I'm begging him every single week. In this case, I'd love him to be on a podcast with me. But what?
He's never been on my podcast. In fact, the one time I had him booked, he blew me off.
I've never been on your podcast?
I don't think so, no. I've called you fat on mine plenty of times, but you've never been on mine.
What does that have to
do? Because I was mad at you for not joining me. I'm not clever. I just went there,
Wow. People are coming out of the woodwork to share their own personal slights.
Everyone gets their money, and this is what happens with freedom. You see what happens with freedom? You can't give these...
Well, my friend on my podcast.
You can't give
these
people
to be honest. I'm a little hurt you haven't been on Chelsea Mike Duck. Wow.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah, man. You never went on the Challenge podcast either, Dan. Weird.
Dad pod? No?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Relationships? What's going on here?
Yes, Greg has been hurt because as if it's not busy enough around here, this isn't going to surprise anyone. Greg has been hurt because I haven't immediately gotten back to him on his interview request that is only being made so he can have the first exclusive interview and get all the clicks on his podcast because we're controlling our own platforms. And so because we haven't given Greg enough with everything we've already given him, which all of this started because we're protecting the career of his son. All of everything that's just happened here. And Greg's response to that is always, you're welcome.
I mean, in lieu of a contract offer from Meadowlark, I would gladly take you on the podcast. I think that's a fair trade. I'll work for free if you'll be on my podcast.
So in the last couple of days, as our story has been something that has caught people's attention, because I know some of you are here wanting to talk about this, and I do want to get to the draft. I really do, because I know some of you are here for that, and we are going to have on the show today, okay, we're going to have a legitimate guest, one of the guys that everybody wants today, right?
Kyle Pitts, tight end from the Florida Gators. Many people think he's the best player in this year's draft. I hope the Dolphins get him. I really do.
And so we're going to talk to him later in the show, and I do want to get into that. But I do know as well that many of you are interested because of what's just happened here in the last couple of days, where if you've been following us for a while, and we will over time here explain more and more of this to you, we will break it down on our platforms, because part of what's happened here recently is we have recognized the value of our platforms. And the idea that we've been able to share all of this news with you directly without any interference has been something that has been a point of pride and why we've stayed on the air over the last 3 months under considerable stress. And even though many of you want more from us in terms of product and you want us to work on Wednesdays and Fridays, our output under the circumstances with everything we've been dealing with here technologically, you have no idea how hard a lift that was to go from one day on Disney to losing our entire infrastructure. And every day here, something is going wrong because of a variety of reasons. So it's been very stressful over the last 3 months, and it's been for everybody, right? Because our crew, the story, one of the beautiful stories as a part of this family business, and I feel like a lot of people like Jessica who have ended up in our world sort of understand the spiritual elements of this. You saw what happened to our family business in public. It happened. We all saw it. Like these people who are joining us now, Adam McKay and Mike Schur, they're like rushing, Hank Azaria, they're rushing into the breach because they're like, let me help these dudes. Let me help these dudes, because we just saw like the corporate fallout of what happened over the last year exploded in everybody's face. And then, you know, whatever happened with Chris happens with Chris. And because I actually love Greg and Chris, and because they're family, and this is the family business, Stugatz is family and Roy is family, and hopefully Jessica will be family and Billy, like we wanted to keep this thing alive. And everybody on this Zoom call rode with Chris. No questions asked. It's like, yeah, we leave the biggest platform in sports. We'll have to do this ourselves. And over the last 3 months, it's been so f***ing hard to do it ourselves. And on Tuesday, we cashed one bet. One. And you can rent what we do around here, the family business and our audience, which we got from ESPN. We got the feeds, we got the audience. And it's and DraftKings, a monster. With Florida opening up for gambling and the gambling money going to change all of this in a decade. All of a sudden, the biggest fish in that game says, we want 3 years of being the truest of sponsors, representing the freedom these guys want and crave so that they could be the best creatives, unencumbered, with no corporate shit on their neck, none. Let these guys breathe. Here's the rocket fuel. And if you don't understand what this business is and what I've been writing in terms of like keeping this thing afloat in terms of checks that we're joking about, around here, it was to cash this bet that DraftKings will be one of the people who will help us continue to feed this thing. And that number that you saw that got everybody's attention, everyone around here knows that ain't going to me. It's going to us. We are throwing this in ownership. We are throwing everything that we're doing here into the people who come on board. They get stock options in what we're doing because we want every creator around here as part of Meadowlark and as part of what we're doing to have maximum freedom and have ownership in what we're doing here.
80-20?
Kyle Pitts, next.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there. I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
The draft is tonight, the NFL draft, and this is probably the most intriguing guy in this draft. The best college football player I saw last year. That Florida offense was overwhelming. It was like watching a professional offense, and this guy was a man among boys.
My wife is a Gator. I remember going to a game, a home game, coming back from that game and telling you that's the best player in college football.
He is crazy athletic. Kyle Pitts with us, and thank you for joining us. Was the game easy for you last year, Kyle? Because it looked awfully easy. It didn't look like the people you were playing against were the same kind of athlete you were.
First, just, you know, thank you guys for having me. And second, I wouldn't say, you know, nothing in football is easy, but I feel like my mental side, it kind of made the game easier. You know, identifying things and watching things on film, that kind of you know, help me during the game to know what my defender was going to do, what they were going to do in certain down distances and certain packages. So I knew how to kind of maneuver, and I feel like that was a way for me to get open, you know, in which Coach Devlin put me in great opportunity mismatches. So that was something that he did a great job on, and which helped me and Kyle putting the ball everywhere I needed to be. So those are kind of my two people who I feel like helped me spring forward this year.
Everything's a mismatch with you, Kyle. Like, what are you talking about? That they put you in mismatches. Like, what are you talking about? Alabama was trying how many different things against you, and you'd still had 7 receptions for 129 yards. You had the touchdown. Didn't you have one catch with 3 Alabama defenders on you?
I mean, some just are just ball player moments. You got to make a play, I feel like. But Kyle did a great job in putting the ball high enough up where I can be the only one to catch it. And yeah.
Kyle, help me out with this. Am I reading this correctly where Nick Saban, he came knocking on your door and you said no to Nick Saban in Alabama?
I'm going to have to say that's false. That never happened.
But you didn't want to. You had a chance to go to Alabama, correct?
Yes, sir. I did have a chance to go to Alabama.
And you decided not to because that's not your thing? You're not country?
I just would say that's kind of, I'm not like outdoorsy. I feel like Tuscaloosa's kind of like the area is like that. But I'm like from the city. So, I mean, Gainesville kind of was outdoorsy as well. I didn't expect it to be like that. I mean, I did, but Alabama's a little different. But I just feel like Florida's my best option.
What would you say were the greatest challenges for you in terms of the college experience? Just leaving where you live to be in Gainesville?
I would just say the relationships. I met a lot of people that I know will be, you know, I know for the rest of my life. The Swamp is one, the best place I've ever played in. You know, when it's rocking, it's rocking. And the Auburn game is a great example of when P. Ryan scored that long touchdown. I mean, my ears were ringing. And that was like, yeah, I live for stuff like this. And it kind of gives you chills just thinking about it, you know, playing it, you know, in the moment, you don't really feel it until after. But playing that is second to none. And I miss it. And I would love to play a game in it again.
Kyle, I'm wondering, have you ever been down to Miami? Have you ever closed your eyes and envisioned what it'd be like to live on South Beach? Have you done any of that?
They want you down here, Kyle. They want you. I know you're getting a lot of this, but Miami really, they needed a playmaker last year.
I'm not really, you know, trying to put myself in any destination or any area where I think or, you know, where I expected to go or people are predicted for me to go. I'm just kind of playing it day by day. You know, my feet are here, so I'm just doing what I'm doing now and grinding, just making sure everything is going smooth sailing.
What is the more accurate description of your position, tight end or missile launching weapon?
Missile launching weapon.
Yeah, okay. That's exactly right.
Hybrid is kind of the new tight end there. So to be able to stretch the field and be in line and be everywhere is something that now the position is kind of looked at and expected to do.
Is there anyone in the pros that you look at and say, okay, that's what I do as a hybrid? Like, do you look more at Julio Jones? Who are you looking at when you're saying that guy reminds me of me?
I would say Travis Kelce, Eric Ebron, Darren Waller, the list goes on. I feel like nowadays every tight end has to be able to run. And you'll notice the ones because they're motioning around, backside, doing things by themselves. So those are kind of guys that I kind of use some of their tools to apply to my toolbox to kind of make me the best player I am.
Do you think you're the best player in this draft?
Yes, I think I'm the best player in the draft.
Is there a question that you are tired of answering on the buildup to this where you're like, okay, I would imagine you've gotten very good at I'm not picking any particular spot. I am not leaning. You're not giving anybody any insight into I want to be here.
No, I feel like kind of the questions, they kind of change up. Everyone has different questions, but that's probably the number one. Where do you think you'll go? That's kind of something that you have to answer the same thing where I don't know, it's out of my hands. It's not like in college where you can pick where you're going to go. So it's a different type of game experience, I guess you'd say.
Where are you on what you're feeling? Excitement, fear, doubt? Like, what are the thing? What are the words you would use to choose, because some of this is out of your control?
I would just say eagerness. I'm just ready to, you know, step into the next level. Competitiveness, I'm ready to compete with the best, and just excitement because I've been working all my life towards this, and to hear my name called and walk across that stage is something that I've been wishing for since I was a kid. So, you know, when it comes, it'll just, you know, check one of the boxes that I have left on my checklist for, you know, for my football bucket list, I guess you'd say.
Have you picked out a suit? What's the suit looking like?
Suit's pretty snazzy. I can't tell you the color. Can't tell you the details on it. But it's going to be good.
Wait a minute, Pitts. Wait a minute. I understand he's teasing it, but he's not. He is a pro now, but he's giving us nothing. This is an interview process, and he is here in his Old Spice gear, being paid handsomely by Old Spice. That had to be fun to learn to get out of college and be like, whoa, wait a minute. There are all sorts of people just offering me free stuff. That had like, take us through.
Let's be honest, probably not been to college.
Take us through some of the stuff that once you get out of the University of Florida where you're like, wow, life just got really good and better and more pleasurable because look at how my options have expanded.
I would just say time management. You know, once you're done with football, you're not going to study hall. That was the biggest thing that I was looking forward to. I'm obviously going to go back and get my degree, but you know, while this time I'm trying to focus on football, and I can just focus on football. That's something I've been meaning and waiting to do, and realize I can take a nap and just go work out. I don't have to, you know, take a nap and do an exam. But just that, I would just say being around different people. In college, you're kind of stuck, and you're you know, always on campus and you're doing things with a team. But in NFL, you kind of, these are grown men, so you're kind of on your own and just being a professional. Once you're done with work, because now it's your job, you go home, relax, take care of your body, and eat right, sleep right.
Many athletes say it's damn near impossible to be the level of dedicated that you have to be as good as you are at football and do classes and apply yourself to all of the things that need learning in college. Would you say the workload, all of it, made it so that you're talking that the one time you've smiled during this is with the relief of now I don't have to do anything other than concentrate on football?
I mean, as a student athlete, things are definitely tougher because, you know, people always have the stereotype of we don't do our work and we just go in and sit in the class or we don't have to go to class. But that's, I've never seen that before. At Florida, if you miss class, that's like a gasher. So, you know, we take school pretty seriously at the University of Florida, and to be a top 10 public school, therefore, in my opinion, none of the classes are easy. So having to come home during camp, during the summer, you're taking classes. During the season, you just had a good game, but you remember you got an exam on Tuesday. Now you got to change your weekend up kind of and study for it. So it's kind of different, you know, because the outside perspective of what student athletes do versus what we actually do is kind of different in the workload. It gets kind of heavy depending on your major, but you know, it's all about how your time management is.
Kyle, are you excited? The awkward commissioner hug is back. Are you excited for that? You going in for one?
I don't know yet. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm definitely excited to, you know, shake his hand and maybe hug him.
If you were to cry tonight, why would it be?
Because like I said, all my hard work is starting to come to fruition, and this box is being checked. Getting drafted is something that has, you know, in my opinion, wanted to be checked. And the next one is rookie of the year. Then it's like Hall of Fame, captain, you know, all those different boxes and accolades that I want to reach, but it's just tears of excitement, joy, and just readiness, I guess you'd say.
What are the boxes? Go ahead and tell us which ones that get, you gave us some of them there, but when you talk about checking all of the boxes, you're going to get drafted higher than you expected to be, where you expected to be, or lower than you expected to be when you dreamt about this as a kid. I'm not talking about what happens tonight, whether you go 1 or 6. I'm talking about when you dreamt about it. How did you dream about it?
As you know, all young kids, I always want to dream about being on Madden, and I kind of, I never realized as a 4-year-old man was an NFL. I thought it was just a game, but you know, the older I got, and I realized that they get paid for this. That's their job, and I was just like, I want to get paid for that. That's what I want to make my profession in. So you know, once I started maturing, learning more about the game, coming up through middle school, high school, and on. The NFL is the end goal. That's something that's we started to work towards it. You know, I put everything aside and I made sure I stayed on top of school and the football. Those are the two things, school, football, family, and faith.
When did you think to yourself for the first time, oh, wait a minute, I could be a top 5 pick. It's not just about being a professional. I could be one of the professionals that there are great expectations for.
I would say my first day on campus, that was something that I wanted to, you know, once I start thinking about being drafted, I wanted to be a top 5, top 10 pick. Top 10 was my original goal, but now it's kind of like if I go top 5, that'll top my original goal. But, you know, if I do go top 10 or even below, I'll still be more than satisfied, more than, you know, appreciative of the moment and whoever took the chance on me.
Any sort of relief knowing the Jets won't take you?
I don't know, no comment on that.
The guy who will not tell us what his suit will look like tonight. I can't even press you on that. You're not going to give me colors. You're not going to give me stripes. You're not going to give me anything. You're not going to give me any details. So I will pivot because he doesn't want to do that. I bet you've got something to say about Old Spice, though. I bet you've got plenty to say there.
You know, I'm here proud partner with Old Spice and the Big Brother program. Something that we're trying to help young men and young women speak up about, you know, what they're going through and mentorship. On the draft, you can visit Big Draft 2021 to learn more. And like myself, I had a mentor, Greg Garrett. He was someone that, you know, meant a lot to me when I was younger, coming through middle school, high school, college. You know, some questions I didn't want to ask my parents, and you know, sometimes, you know, I had to call somebody else. So when I got the opportunity, you know, call him about certain things and we talked about it, but having a mentor is pretty important in your life. And even when you don't want to reach out for help, those are, you know, once you find that person that you're comfortable with, they'll make life a lot easier.
BigDraft21.com is where you go if you want more information. Before we let you go, can you explain to us what mentorship did for you, the specifics of where it is you were in your life when you needed this person to help you with some of the shaping?
Mentorship is a lot because as men, we're kind of told to just toughen it up, keep going. But some, you know, there's times where we're going through things and we don't say anything about it. We just go about our day and just try and take it on the chin and go about it. But, you know, growing up, you kind of have to learn to speak about it so that you don't just burst when you get to that point. So having mentors around me, older guys who've been through kind of the same stage, you know, older NFL friends, older people who maybe played in NFL or business owners, you know, it's kind of different sites where as a mentor, you can learn a lot from them by just sitting there and listening to them. So mentorship is something that's important to me, and I would advise all young people who maybe are shy about speaking up to someone, maybe just start somewhere in your school that people don't talk to, or like a janitor or something, I guess you'll say, you know, if you can, because janitors, you may not think they're as high on the totem pole, but they are. And, you know, you talk to them, they'll sit there and talk to you all day. You know, that might make their day. So just being able to have that confidence to speak up about it, that's something that I feel like all young people should, you know, start doing.
BigDraft21.com. Kyle, good luck tonight. Thank you for the time, man. We appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.